when you're focusing on supporting detoxification before pregnancy, it can help balance out your hormones and improve fertility. So it creates a less of a burden on your body. So it can really kind of support those follicles and support the quality of the eggs that you're growing.
Welcome back to the Mastering Your Fertility podcast. The show is all about reclaiming health, enhancing fertility, and preparing for pregnancy. We're Kristen Cornett and Dr. Haley Nye, your hosts and the creators of the online fertility platform, Tiny Feats. Thank you all so much for tuning in today. We're a holistic nutritionist and naturopathic doctor, and our passion is helping couples get pregnant naturally and have healthier babies. We started a virtual practice through Tiny Feet where you can schedule one-on-one consults to investigate your health and optimize your fertility, and we also offer online courses. You can learn more on our website at tinyfeet.co. And if you're local to the Portland, Oregon area, you can find Dr. Haley at Synergy Women's Healthcare. To learn more about working with her in person, visit synergypdx.com. You're listening to episode 58, where we're going to be talking about some of the steps you'll want to start taking if you're planning to get pregnant this upcoming year, and how we can help support you as you plan for the healthiest possible pregnancy. You have so much power to influence your health, your fertility, and your future baby's health with the steps and actions that you take before you conceive. And we're really excited to share some of this practical guidance with you. So we're going to be talking about what a healthy fertility diet really looks like and why it's important to customize your diet to your unique needs, which supplements to take to prepare for pregnancy, when you should start them, and where to find the highest quality brands, major hormone disrupting toxins to avoid, and why your body might need some extra preconception detoxification support, important tests to seek out before you conceive, and how a functional interpretation of your labs can help guide your fertility journey, and details on all of the specific ways that we can help you move through these steps and have a healthy, thriving pregnancy in 2020. This is a super special episode because we're going to be sharing some amazing offers that can really help make your pregnancy prep this year much easier and give you the confidence you need to conceive when you want to. These offers include a personalized 7-day fertility meal plan, $200 off our new online course, Fertile in 5 Masterclass, a 28-day preconception and fertility group detox program, which we'll be hosting starting January 6th, and the option to see us one-on-one for a preconception health assessment appointment. You can find links to learn more and get started with each of these things in this week's podcast episode description, and we'll be explaining each of these offers in detail throughout the episode. If you're interested in doing the group detox with us, definitely book a discovery call right away so we can help you determine if this program is right for you and get you signed up in time to start with us on January 6th. We share the details on the detox about 45 minutes into today's episode, so be sure to listen all the way through to learn more about this awesome program and decide if you'd like to join us in the new year. All right, so without further ado, let's dive in and get started on the episode.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mastering Your Fertility podcast. We want to share this week the top things that you should be thinking about and implementing if you want to make 2020 the year that you start or expand your family. So we're going to be talking about how we can help you move through these action steps and how we can support you and your health and fertility goals this upcoming year and decade. So the first thing that we're going to talk about is getting the diet dialed in. So we know how important diet is. It's absolutely, I would say, the very top of the list, maybe parallel to sleep and exercise, of how important it is to get dialed in when you're trying to get your health back on track, really trying to optimize your health for starting a family. So Kristen's going to start us off and just kind of list out what we're looking for when it comes to having a good diet in place.
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Haley. So I feel like we've talked about diet in a bunch of different episodes on the podcast, but surprisingly, we've never actually done like a fertility diet episode. And that's not exactly what this one is going to be either, but we just kind of wanted to put a bunch of our recommendations in one place for you. And this is going to be kind of a general overview because we have a lot of other things that we're going to talk about in this episode, but this gives you guys a starting point. And then we have some other resources that can help walk you through this in quite a bit more depth and provide you with a more practical implementation if that's something that you feel like you're needing at this point in your journey. So of course, as we've mentioned many times, one of the main things that we want to focus on when we're eating for fertility or preparing our bodies for pregnancy is eliminating sugar and processed foods and then focusing on high nutrient density. So, foods like processed flours, breads, pastas, cookies, crackers. Those things are staples in the diet. Those are things that we've all grown up eating. A lot of like breakfast foods are based on refined carbs and sugar, but those really aren't terribly nutrient dense. They really don't have the vitamin and mineral content that we need when we're looking to support our fertility and help build a healthy baby during pregnancy. And those foods also affect blood sugar and insulin, which we've talked about many times on the podcast, and they're really just not the best choices. So when we're talking about focusing on high nutrient density, we're talking about whole unprocessed foods, foods that require a little bit more preparation than some of you might be used to. I know that when I first started changing my diet, I didn't actually know how to cook. My husband, who I was not married to at the time, actually taught me how to cook when we started changing our diets. So I totally get it if you're in that boat, and there are a lot of ways that you can kind of make this process a little bit easier for yourself, like getting an Instant Pot, batch cooking on the weekends. Not everything has to be an elaborate production. I think we talked about that with Charlotte Grand in the episode that we did that was a fertility diet episode actually. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember what episode that is off the top of my head. That's a great one for practical implementation tips. So check that out for sure if you're struggling with this. But here are some of the guidelines that we're going to talk about with macronutrient balance and micronutrient sufficiency when we're thinking about a fertility diet. So the first category that we're going to discuss is carbohydrates. That's kind of everybody's big one. That's probably the most contentious category of macronutrient when it comes to fertility eating. And we're not necessarily saying that you have to excessively restrict carbs in the diet. We just want you to get your carbohydrates from whole food sources. So eliminating those processed foods and focusing instead on non-starchy green vegetables, fruits. And then, of course, you can also include starchy vegetables like potato, sweet potato, winter
squash.
Yeah, those are all great foods. Legumes are awesome. Beans and lentils. Lentils in particular have a ton of nutrition in them and fiber. And then also whole grains. We just recommend those be more of like a smaller side dish type of portion as opposed to the basis of your entire diet. Like the current USDA nutrition guidelines recommend them being such a significant portion of the diet.
Yeah.
And then how many carbs to eat really depends on you. Honestly, we don't have a specific percentage of carbohydrate in the diet that we recommend for all people. We're very bio-individual when it comes to nutrition. So how much carbohydrate is right for you in the diet is going to depend on where you're currently at with your weight, where you're currently at with your blood sugar balance, whether or not you have any hormonal conditions, something like PCOS, or if you know you have insulin resistance, maybe less carbohydrate in the diet is going to be better for you. Your activity level is going to determine how much carbohydrate you do well with. Even things like genetic predispositions can affect how well you do with carbohydrate in the diet. So as a general guideline, which is a very wide range, we're usually advocating for somewhere between 20 and 40% of calories from carbohydrate. And like I said, that's a pretty wide range. So it's highly individual. We do recommend either working with someone, or we'll give you a resource here in a second that can help walk you through how to figure out what is right for you within that range. So the next thing we obviously want to talk about is high quality protein. Protein is super important to fertility. It's important to having a normal cycle, producing hormones. It's important to your immune system. It's important to supporting normal detoxification, which we're going to talk about a little bit later in the episode. So the highest quality proteins are going to have the most complete amino acid profile. And those foods do generally come from animals. That doesn't mean that you can't eat plant-based proteins. Those are great too. We just, for a bunch of different reasons, and we outlined some of this in episode 17 of the podcast, we recommend an omnivorous diet in general for fertility and pregnancy. So high quality proteins are going to include things like pasture-raised meats and poultry. As high quality as you can afford is good. I mean, organic pasture-raised are going to have the best nutritional profile and the least amount of accumulated toxicity in the meat and fat. Wild-caught seafood is also a fantastic protein source. Eggs and full-fat dairy, if you tolerate those, are also very nutrient-dense. And then, of course, some of the plant-based proteins are fine as well. So whole grains, legumes, nuts, and seeds are all awesome. These just shouldn't be the only source of protein. And then when we're looking at how much protein to eat in the diet, that's kind of another variable, but the slightly narrower range. So between 20 and 30% of calories if you're someone who counts. Now, when we're providing these ranges, we don't generally recommend tracking to our clients unless it's a problem, unless you have a really specific health goal that you're looking to achieve, or maybe you're not eating enough, or you're just really concerned that you don't have enough balance in your diet, you can use an app to track. These are numbers are really just kind of guidelines to get you started.
Yeah. And I would also say, just adding in there, that if you're unfamiliar with macronutrients like carbs, proteins, and fats, everybody has to learn somewhere, and either they learn in school or they just learn on their own when they start looking at nutrition labels. And so just trying to understand, like, or I guess just starting to get comfortable with looking at nutrition labels and understanding where the fat, the protein, the carbs are coming from. The added sugars are now, I believe, part of the nutrition label.
They are. So
that can kind of get you familiar. For example, like looking at, like nut butters, like almond butter is really interesting because it's much higher in fat, but it also has a good amount of protein in there. And then also like, canned beans or something like that is interesting too, because of kind of similar, it has, a good mix of protein and carbs as well. So just, again, that can kind of help you understand this whole ratio of like 30% protein, you know, 30% carbs. And so just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah. And there's obviously a lot more, you know, complexity and intricacy about nutrition that we're not going over today. And so, you know, hopefully you guys have had a lot of opportunity throughout the life of the podcast to learn more about nutrition, but we just kind of wanted to give a summary of what our general fertility diet recommendations are in this episode. And then of course, give you some resources where you can learn a little bit more. So moving on from protein to fat, healthy fats are going to include things like olives and olive oil, which are great for monounsaturated fat, avocados and avocado oil, coconut oil is great, nuts and seeds. And then with nuts and seeds, you can also do nut and seed butter or raw nut and seed oils. Those are really delicate fats with the omega-3s and omega-6s. So you don't want to cook with nut and seed oils, but you could definitely use them raw on a salad. Butter or ghee are also great. And then of course, fatty fish is going to be the best source of omega-3 fats in the diet. And then fat can make up anywhere from 30 to 60% of calories, depending on your unique needs. So just like there's a wide range for carbohydrate, there's also a wide range for fat. And that's because those are the two primary categories where we get our energy production from. And so depending on your health, your metabolism, your activity level, your blood sugar balance, you may do better on a higher fat diet with slightly lower carbohydrate, or you might do better flipped around. Depending on where you're at, you can decide whether or not you want the majority of those energy calories to be coming from carbohydrate or from fat. And then you can adjust that depending on how you feel. So if you're feeling really well sustained in between meals, like you eat breakfast and you feel completely fine until lunch, that's a sign that you have a good macronutrient balance between your protein, your carbohydrate, and your fat. If you're exhausted and starving within a couple hours of eating, and you feel like you have to snack every couple of hours to make it to that next meal, that's a sign that your blood sugar isn't as stable throughout the day. And you might want to consider something like reducing carbohydrate or reducing sugar and processed carbohydrates and increasing your fat content a little bit to stabilize that out. So those are some good recommendations in terms of macronutrients. And then when we're talking about micronutrients, these are our vitamins and minerals. This is kind of what we're really focused on in terms of baby's development. Like, it's obviously very important that we have sufficient energy production and that we have enough protein in the diet to build the structure of our baby, but it's really the nutrients, the vitamins and minerals, and phytonutrients that that help support their development and make sure that they have optimal brain development and that, you know, their DNA is well methylated. We've talked about methylation several times on the podcast and how important that is to the early genetic programming of baby. And then, of course, neural tube development, which is essential. That's one of the things that's the primary reason that we have like folic acid fortified in our foods is preventing neural tube defects. But we know that naturally occurring folate is really what we need. So for micronutrients, the best place to get those is going to be primarily from the diet. And there are some foods that are heavy supporters of micronutrient need in the diet. And those are kind of our fertility superfoods that we highly, highly recommend. And so eating these foods in the diet daily or weekly, depending on the food, is going to really be ideal for your fertility diet. And, you know, when you're talking about eating for fertility, it's just as much about what you include in the diet as what you exclude from the diet. So although it's important to remove sugar and processed foods as much as possible, making sure that you're being really intentional about including nutrient-dense foods is just as important. So leafy greens, those should be in the diet every single day, even at every single meal, if you can manage it. If you are not a huge fan of just eating like large salads or sauteing up a bunch of greens for breakfast, if you're not there yet on your fertility diet, that's totally okay. One of the ways that you can sneak those in is in a green smoothie in the morning that also has like some berries or other low sugar fruit for flavor. It's my favorite way to get them too, actually. Even though I do love salad and sauteed greens, I just find it's a lot easier to eat more of them when they're blended into a smoothie that also includes like some blueberries and strawberries in the morning. Eggs are another fantastic fertility food. These are really important. These are an important source of choline in the diet, which is another one of those methylation nutrients. It's easily as important as folate because it does almost the same thing in the body. And those nutrients can be interchangeable in that methylation cycle. And it's also really important for brain development and making sure that like your placenta is healthy, which helps deliver nutrients to your baby. So if you can tolerate eggs, they are a common allergen, but if you can tolerate eggs, including 2 to 3 eggs a day is going to be ideal. And those you can get in the morning with breakfast, or you can also get them just in other recipes as you're cooking throughout the day. Another one, which we've talked about several times, but I know you guys are probably still turning your nose up at this one a little bit, is going to be liver. Liver is kind of nature's multivitamin, and it's not a food that we tend to include in like a standard normal diet, but it is something that you can easily hide in recipes. I don't generally recommend people just like slicing and sauteing up liver. It's kind of gross. It's got a weird texture, but you can mix it in to a dish that calls for ground meat. So like meatballs or chili or meatloaf, like including a small amount of liver. So replacing a third, maybe even a little bit less of the ground meat that you would use for a dish like that and replacing that with liver. And then another pro tip is that chicken liver or lamb liver is going to be a lot more mild than like beef or bison. So start with the more mild flavor. Start with the more mild flavor. Lily Nichols is a registered dietitian. She's got some great resources on liver. Her book, Real Food for Pregnancy, is fantastic. And she definitely sings the praises of liver. One of the ways that she uses it is that she'll actually grind it up and freeze it into like ice cube type of molds and then just like dump one of those or two of those into a dish that calls for ground meat, kind of thaw them out and mix it in. And you really can't taste it, but you get a huge amount of the nutritional benefit from that. So things like B12, folate, the most bioavailable forms of zinc, iron, selenium, choline, liver is probably the second best source of choline in the diet. So it really is one of the most nutrient dense foods you can eat, and you really don't need very much of it. 2 to 3 small servings of liver a week kind of takes care of your need for all of those nutrients. Next would be fatty fish. So low mercury, lower on the food chain fatty fish. So things like wild-caught salmon, sardines, mussels, mackerel, those are all awesome sources of omega-3 fats, as well as other nutrients like essential minerals. There's choline in fish, B vitamins. And so including those as much as possible, probably 2 to 3 6-ounce servings of fatty fish a week is going to take care of the majority of your need for choline and some B vitamins and some essential minerals. And then nuts and seeds. Nuts and seeds, like Dr. Haley said, are interesting because they've got a great balance between actually all three macronutrients. They're a good source of healthy fats, protein, and carbohydrate. And they are also super nutrient dense, particularly in minerals like magnesium and selenium and iron. So including those frequently, those are a great snack throughout the day. So including those in your diet daily is awesome as well. So I think that's a really quick, little quick and dirty overview of what a nice, healthy fertility diet looks like. But there's obviously a lot more information that kind of goes into this. And so we do want to let you guys know that we have a couple of resources to help you get started on this if you're not quite there on the outline that we just presented for a fertility diet. So two things that you can do as we're starting the year here, we have an exciting offer that we're going to be doing for you guys through January 6th. So up until that point, we are offering a 7-day personalized meal plan for $49. So this is normally a service that would cost between $60 and $80 per week to do for a client. But this is something that we're offering to you guys customized from now until January 6th. And that is going to be, like I said, a full 7-day meal plan. It's going to include breakfast, lunch, lunches, dinners, and then snack recommendations. We'll customize it to any dietary restrictions that you currently have. So if you're on some type of an elimination diet or you have specific food sensitivities that you know are not working for you in your diet, also food preferences, if there are just things that you don't like, that you don't want included, like you just really don't like cauliflower or it makes you super bloated or something, we can take that out. And then we'll also make sure that that's going to suit your needs, but also be like a good nutrient dense fertility diet that kind of fits with these recommendations. And then of course, we'll customize those macronutrient ratios for you based on getting a little bit of information from you about your health. Meal plan also includes how many people you're cooking for. So we can customize this if you have, you know, 2, 3, 4 people that you're going to be cooking for on a regular basis versus just you, we can customize it so you're not like overbuying and overmaking food. And then that meal plan is also going to include nutrition facts so that you can see what that macronutrient breakdown is, as well as the micronutrients, vitamins and minerals. And then there's a shopping list that includes specific quantities of what you need to buy. So you can go to the store and feel confident that you're getting everything that you need and that you're not crazy overbuying and spending too much money. So yeah. If you are interested in doing that, go ahead and schedule. There's a link in the podcast episode description to schedule a 20-minute meal planning call. And that's when we'll kind of get those preferences and elimination diet and restriction information for you. And then we'll customize a plan for you and email it out to you.
Yeah, I really like this idea of a personalized meal plan because for me, I don't know about you guys, but I have a really hard time using recipe books, especially since now I met and live with Matt because he's so picky about everything. Yeah. And so I have my own nutritional preferences and things that I need to avoid, such as gluten and dairy. And then he has like some really odd ones that have to do with more like texture of food. So he doesn't like,
doesn't he like hate zucchini?
Yeah. He hates all squash, like all squash and pretty much all peppers and all mushrooms and olives. And it's just like, it's so hard to find a recipe that actually works for him and I. So this meal plan is really, really nice because you can, like Kristen just said, you can put in what your food preferences are, the things that you're eliminating from your diet, and it will, we can actually put together something that works for you and your significant other, if you are cooking for them too. And so, and this is a 7-day meal plan that you can use over and over again. So
yeah, for sure. Or you can decide that you want to keep getting 7-day meal plans and do that with us. That's totally fine too. Yeah. But up until this point, January 6th, you guys will get this for an awesome price. So that $49 for the customized plan. And then if you are interested in diving into nutrition a little bit deeper and kind of learning the ins and outs of what a healthy fertility diet really entails, and learning how to do this more self-sufficiently so that you have the tools that you need to do it for yourself going forward. We go over diet extensively in an entire module in our Fertile in 5 Masterclass online course. So that's going to walk you through all the things that you need to know about your fertility diet and also help give you recommendations on how to customize it to your unique needs. It does also include a baseline fertility meal plan. That one's obviously not going to be customized, but it's a great start for you guys. And then there's also some other customization tools in there, such as a detailed guide on how to do an elimination diet to figure out which foods are working for your body and which ones aren't. So there's a ton of information on diet in that course. And from today through January 6th, we are offering Fertile in 5 at $200 off the regular course price, which is an awesome deal. So that brings it down to $497. And there is a 6-month payment plan on that. So if you guys are interested, but that sounds a little steep to you, go ahead and check out the payment plan. And then you can access the sales page for the course and learn a little bit more about what's included there. You can do that through the link in the podcast episode description or go to bit.ly/fertileinfive. And then the code that you will use at checkout is RESET2020, all caps. All right. So I think that's going to do it for chatting about getting your diet dialed in. And Dr. Haley is going to talk to us about getting on an ideal preconception and prenatal supplement routine.
All right. Thanks, Kristen. So diet is definitely the foundation for nutrition intake, but supplements are going to be your insurance policy, especially when you're planning to conceive. I know I see a lot of patients that, which there's absolutely nothing wrong with this at all, but just truly feel that like diet is enough. But it's just with all the research that we've done, that we've seen, that's especially in the last couple of years with preconception specific type of research, it's just really, really not enough. So we highly recommend having a supplement routine on board. And we've done a lot of research on putting together exactly what that ideal plan looks like. So as far as the supplements go, when you want to start at least 3 months before you try to conceive. So you want to build up those nutrient stores, right? If you are currently deficient in any particular nutrients, you want to give it about 3 months to build up those stores. And then also these particular supplements are going to nourish your follicles and your eggs that are growing in those follicles. And so it takes about 3 months from really kind of the start to ovulation for that egg that's going to end up ovulating that particular month to be nourished and grow ideally over that period of time with these particular supplements. So the supplements that we like to recommend, of course, is a prenatal vitamin. So that's really important. They're all prenatal vitamins are so different from really cheap ones to really expensive ones. And we've done a lot of research to figure out, okay, which ones give you exactly what you need that isn't too expensive, and different forms of delivery, because some people can't swallow capsules, which is totally understandable. So we have recommendations on the best kind of like top brands that we recommend. And then the other one is choline. So Kristen mentioned choline several times in the diet piece, which you can definitely get choline through your diet. But, you know, unless you're eating a lot of eggs and liver every day, it actually is quite hard to get to that recommended daily limit for or allowance for preconception or for during pregnancy, which is around what we recommend is around 1,000 milligrams a day. So, correct me if I'm wrong, Kristen, but I think like an egg has what, like 140 milligrams,
something like that. It's like 110 to 120, I think.
Yeah. So it's quite a good amount. Yeah. And it's all in the yolk, but, who knows how much you're actually losing when you're, when the yolk is cooked. And then also, again, it, you know, we're thinking 1,000 and the egg only has 110, 120. So you have to eat quite a few to get to that ideal amount. And there is choline in other vegetables, but again, we like supplements because it's in insurance policy. Kristen mentioned how important choline is that to preventing like neural tube defects, and it's almost quite as important as folate. And so that's why we just want to make sure that you do have that on board. And some prenatal vitamins are putting choline in the prenatal, but you'll notice that most of the times it's under 100 milligrams, which is very, very low. So it's like less than an egg yolk in your prenatal. So you just gotta, especially if you're avoiding eggs and you're not eating liver or anything like that, you'll want to get like a separate choline supplement. And then vitamin D is another one. So we've talked a lot about vitamin D previously on how it helps prevent miscarriage, and lots of research showing that it helps prevent neurodevelopmental delays and things in children, especially making sure that you have enough vitamin D all the way through pregnancy and in their first years of infancy. And then bone nutrients. So when we say bone nutrients, we're mainly talking about magnesium and calcium and vitamin K2. So magnesium and calcium, what we're finding is that if you don't have enough magnesium and calcium during pregnancy, especially, is that the baby has to grow their own skeleton, and it will leach the magnesium and calcium from your own bones because, you know, they're like a little parasite and they're going to take all your nutrients. And so if you don't have that on board, then basically you're compromising your own skeleton structure during pregnancy, and that's going to lend towards more osteoporosis or osteopenia as you get older. And so you just really want to make sure that you have that on board. And then magnesium, you know, making sure that you have enough magnesium for bones is just one little tiny, tiny thing that magnesium does. It's part of so many biochemical processes in the body. And to make sure that everything is working well, you just want to make sure you have enough magnesium. And a prenatal vitamin usually just doesn't have enough. And unfortunately, our food supply is quite deplete in magnesium too. So another reason to have it on board. And then fish oil is another really important nutrient for brain development and for the nervous system of the baby. So especially DHA, but EPA has also been, those are the two types of essential fatty acids and that you'll find in fish oil. And DHA is pretty common. Hopefully most people know that they're supposed to be taking DHA at least during pregnancy, but we've seen enough research that we recommend about around like 2000 milligrams of fish oil with EPA and DHA before pregnancy. And then the last one is probiotics. Hopefully you've heard our episodes of how important it is to have a balanced microbiome. If you haven't heard the episode with Dr. Andrea Macbeth, do you remember what episode that was? It was like 50, 47, 49 or something.
It's high 40s, low 50s, maybe. It's fairly recent.
Yeah, but it's an awesome episode where basically we talk all about the microbiome and how it protects your child. If the mother's microbiome is protected, then it's going to protect the health of the future baby from developing kind of chronic conditions like autism or even eczema or allergic type of symptoms. So it's a cool episode. So you'll learn more about why probiotics before pregnancy and during pregnancy is so important. So
episode 51.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. 51. So now that was super brief overview, and I know that you guys probably have so many follow-up questions. So we actually do have a free course called How to Choose the Best Prenatal Supplements. You can find that on our Instagram. There's a link there, or even in the podcast description, we'll put it up there. But if you do join the free course, then you'll be able to learn about all six of these recommendations. And then you'll also have access to the top brand recommendations that we've put together for you, and 15% off of any of those supplements, as long as you know you order through that particular link. So that's really cool. You guys can get set up with your supplement regimen for the start of the year. And Lastly, the course that I was talking to you about, that how to choose the best prenatal supplements, is actually module 3 of the Fertile in 5 course that Kristen mentioned. So it gives you a preview of the larger course, and it just really gives you a lot of information. And so if you like that particular course, after you go through it, you know, you're just going to get so much more information and really cool stuff if you decide to just go for the bigger course at Fertile in 5.
Yeah, you get an idea of like how we teach and what sorts of resources are available, kind of what everything looks like in there. And if that's something that you enjoy and you want all of the additional information on diet, lifestyle, and the next category that we're going to talk about, which is toxins, as well as planning for preconception with your doctor, then that will be an awesome resource for you guys.
Yeah. So yeah, the next big thing that we want to talk about that hopefully is getting more noticed out there is the hormone disrupting toxins or endocrine disruptors in our environment. So these disruptors are everywhere in our environment, and it can pose major challenges to our internal hormonal balance, our overall health, and our fertility. Some people are going to be a bit more sensitive to these toxins too. And you know, we've talked previously about everybody has a different sized bucket that they're born with, which is like how much they're able to handle in the environment before it overflows and causes a lot of symptoms. And some people, like, you know, Kristen and I, unfortunately, we were born with kind of a small bucket, but some other people have bigger buckets. So, but regardless how big your bucket is, you really should be aware of these endocrine disrupting chemicals, especially, you know, if you live with other people in your household, or, you know, you're planning to bring a baby into this world, and they too need to, you know, not be exposed to these type of chemicals. So, Kristen, do you want to go ahead and talk a little bit more about this particular topic?
Yeah. So this is a super important one. I think it's one of the most overwhelming that we talk about when we look at all the things that we want to do to support optimal health in our baby. Cause like really it's not just about getting pregnant. Like most people can get pregnant without doing any of the things that we are talking about in this episode. However, this is really about optimizing health for baby and also optimizing health for you both before pregnancy, minimizing complications during pregnancy, and then actually feeling up to the challenge of being a new mom once you give birth postpartum, and doing a lot of this prep work can absolutely help with that. And toxins are one of those areas that is just really hard to wrap your head around, because there's this prevailing idea, which is reasonable in my opinion, that people consider things that they buy at the store, you know, any consumer product that they buy should have been reasonably well tested for safety. And unfortunately, when it comes to a lot of the products that include these hormone disrupting chemicals, that just simply isn't the case. And it can be overwhelming to find out that the burden is on you to figure out what is safe and appropriate for your family and to avoid adding to that overall toxic burden in your body.
Yeah.
So we've talked about toxins a couple of times on the podcast. The two episodes that are the most informative on this topic are episode 8 that we did with Dr. Elizabeth Sharavati, who we had back on recently a few episodes ago. But she talked about toxins in personal care products in episode 8. And then Laura Adler, who is a local here in Portland, she actually educates other practitioners on the issue of toxins in our environment. And that was episode 37. And she really went into endocrine disruptors specifically and why this whole idea of like, oh, the small amount that's in my perfume or my moisturizer or my face wash or my makeup, the small amount of toxin that might be in there isn't enough to cause a problem. And she really debunks why that's not the case. When it comes to hormone disruptors, the small amounts are sometimes actually often more dangerous than larger amounts because of the way our endocrine system is designed to work. It's very subtle messaging. And when you have even a small exposure that gets into that system, she talks about like hormones communicating in whispers as opposed to like shouting. Mm-hmm. And so a small amount of toxic exposure is kind of like that little whisper that can influence, like, for instance, how your brain is communicating with your ovaries. That's kind of a big deal when it comes to fertility and when it comes to menstrual cycle health. And this is a common area that we see our clients get tripped up in, especially because there's a lot of clever marketing out there right now to make you guys think that things are safe when they're not.
That's so frustrating when you see like all natural, this, they're using these words that make you think, of course, it makes you think like, oh, this should be fine. Because who wants to become a total expert in this field? Like, you know, we have so many other things going on. You want to be able to just trust the brands out there. And yeah, so it infuriates me, especially with food, nutrition, and these other products when they use those words and it hasn't been vetted to actually be safe.
For sure. So, you know, some of the scary research that we have on this, like not to scare the crap out of you guys, but just to enforce how important this really is. Some of the research that we have on these endocrine disruptors are effects on the menstrual cycle. So interfering with things like ovulation or affecting the length of the luteal phase, the second half of your cycle where you're producing progesterone. And that's super important to making sure that you can have a healthy implantation and support the early stages of that pregnancy. Affecting estrogen balance. So if you're kind of overdoing the estrogen because you're getting a lot of it from some of these outside sources, like plastics are a really common source of what we call xenoestrogens or foreign estrogen that comes from outside the body but behaves like estrogen in our bodies. There's a lot of research on how that can cause problems with hormone balance. These things can affect egg quality, especially if you're struggling with infertility or you're going through IVF or you've been through a failed treatment cycle. Egg quality is probably a conversation that has come up with your care providers, and limiting toxins in the environment is something that you can do to help improve that egg quality. And then there's lots of effects on baby's health during pregnancy. So there are some complications that can be increased during pregnancy from exposure to some of these toxic chemicals, like pesticides is a really good example. As well as plastics, things in personal care products, things in cleaning products. But these can also affect babies' long-term health. So affecting things like insulin sensitivity and whether or not a child ends up has a higher risk for being obese throughout childhood. And we're still just discovering in the research how much of an effect there is on long-term health. So this could even be connected to like chronic disease risk in adulthood for your children.
Well, what they've seen too, and the research is pretty substantiated, is that dioxin exposure during pregnancy is related to endometriosis later on and that in the offspring. So if you're wondering why you get endometriosis, that's part of it. It's not all of it, but that's just one of the factors that is causing these chronic conditions. And they also are very suspect that PCOS too is some type of toxic exposure in your mother's womb.
Yeah, it can certainly have a big impact, you know, especially like when we're talking about BPA and insulin sensitivity, that can affect insulin sensitivity in mom, and it can affect whether or not a female baby is exposed to large amounts of androgens or male hormones in utero, and that can affect the eventual development of PCOS, as well as just the chemicals themselves affecting hormone imbalance and reproductive tract development and hormone signaling in children. So there are a lot of scary things going on with toxins. And then you add to that the fact that this topic is so overwhelming and there's so many things that you can potentially change. And you're really setting yourself up to be super stressed out and pull your hair out. And that's definitely not what we want. So the primary categories that we're looking at, there's kind of like a big five that we have that we talk about. And we talk about this in the Fertile in 5 course. But some of the main ones are going to be plastics. Personal care products is the second probably big exposure. And this is a big deal because these are things that you're rubbing on your skin, which is a very absorbent organ. So a lot of the things that you're putting on your body are absorbing into your bloodstream. Household cleaning products are another big exposure because those are things that you touch and breathe in your home environment. Pesticides, which is going to primarily come from non-organic food, but can also come from what you're spraying on your lawn or garden or what you're being exposed to at like local parks and green spaces. And then water is another big potential exposure. There are a scary amount of chemicals and toxicants in unfiltered tap water. And so that is something that we all need to be aware of, just that we know what's in our water, or if we don't want to know what's in our water, that we're being really careful to filter it well. So some free resources that you guys can check out to start learning more about this issue are the two podcast episodes that I mentioned. And then I believe within those episodes, we also talk about some of these other resources from the Environmental Working Group, which is a nonprofit organization here in the United States that does a ton of research on toxins and then gives you resources on how to start limiting your exposure. So some of the big ones are going to be the Skin Deep database that goes over personal care products and helps you choose better brands. It gives scores for thousands and thousands of different types of brands and products. So I think there's actually even the ability now to scan a product, like to scan the barcode on a product and get information about how safe or not safe that product is. So anything that's like a 1 through 3 score on Skin Deep is going to be pretty safe. And then it's a declining scale. 10 is obviously like the most dangerous you can get. Hopefully we won't find very many of those. But that's one great resource. For cleaning products, the EWG has a guide to healthy cleaning, which is on their website. There's also a guide to pesticides and produce, which is going to be like the Dirty Dozen and Clean 15 list. Those tell you which produce items have the most and least amount of pesticide residue on them if you were to buy them not organic. So if you bought them conventional. And then they also have a tap water database where you can actually search your zip code and find out what the most common toxicants are in your water, as well as a water filter guide. So there's like hundreds upon hundreds of different types of water filters and systems, and what's right for you is going to be different than what's right for somebody else. So you can find good information there. And then of course, Fertilin 5, the course is going to walk you through all of the major ingredients to be aware of in products, which products these ingredients are found in, how to avoid them, specific brand recommendations, all of our favorites for non-toxic products. And then it takes you through a step-by-step process for easing into that non-toxic transition and minimizing stress throughout that whole product process. So just a reminder that Fertilin 5 is $200 off through January 6th, and you can access that through the link in the episode description or at bit.ly/Fertilin5, and then use the code RESET2020, all caps, at checkout.
All right. And
Dr. Haley is going to go over the next thing that we want to talk about, which is also has to do with toxins, but has to do with something fun that we're going to be doing.
Yeah.
Starting on January 6th. So why don't you talk about that?
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. So we are going to start a fertility cleanse starting in January 6th this next year to kind of kickstart the new year and the new decade. And so we wanted to talk to you guys a little bit about this and kind of get you excited and hopefully on board to do this with us. So I'm going to do the cleanse. I'm literally going to be doing it with you. Kristen is actually vetting the cleanse right now. So she's doing it and going to give us kind of her tips and tricks and let us, you know, customize it if we need to do that at all. But she's doing great so far. So I'm going to give you a little bit more background on like cleansing and why we're going to do this. So as we're eliminating toxins, we want to be able to support the body's natural ability to eliminate these toxins. So that's really supporting the liver. And so now eliminating toxins really is a natural process in the body. It's happening every day. We have, we've talked previously about how the liver does a lot of waste removal during nighttime, during our restorative sleep. But it can also be slowed down over time, your elimination of toxins, and it could be less efficient when we have an increased toxic load. So just think like, you know, things are getting overloaded. So of course things are going to work slower, kind of like if you're jammed in traffic, you're not going very fast. Everybody has different genetics. Like I spoke earlier about everybody is born with a different size, like toxic bucket load, and then also poor diet. So, you know, around the holidays, I would imagine this might be more prevalent than we would like. And so if you have, you know, increased carbs and sugars and sweets and things like that, it's going to slow down your body's ability to detox. Also digestive issues and nutritional deficiencies. You need to make sure you have all of the precursors on board to be able to adequately detox and use those enzymes that your liver needs to do that, to do so. So Now, signs that you may need a little extra help with with detoxing is going to be fatigue or trouble sleeping, skin issues like dry skin, rashes or hives, acne, eczema, if you have been gaining weight or having trouble losing the weight, if you've had intense food cravings, signs of hormonal imbalances such as low libido, you just not feeling it, heavy or painful periods, breast tenderness, especially in your late luteal phase before your menses, mood issues or reduced mental clarity, so also known as brain fog, joint pain, and digestive problems. So I don't know about you guys, but I like just checked off probably 5 of those. So I'm really excited to get my liver pumping again. As you guys all know, I had my breast implant removal surgery just like about 3 months ago, and I am feeling a lot better, but I can definitely use a good detox to be able to like push out the remaining amount of toxins that are floating around in my body or have been stored in my liver. So excited about that. Now, when you're focusing on supporting detoxification before pregnancy, it can help balance out your hormones and improve fertility. So it creates a less of a burden on your body. So it can really kind of support those follicles and support the quality of the eggs that you're growing. And then of course, it's going to limit how much your baby is going to be exposed to these harmful toxins while they're in utero. So this detox that we're talking about, we're going to be hosting a group 28-day detoxification program, and it starts again on January 6th. And if you're interested in doing a bit of quote-unquote house cleaning in preparation for pregnancy, then please, please join us. So the cleanse is going to involve eating a healthy, nutrient-dense diet while also including a whole foods nutritional support shake that provides important nutrients and fiber to add in the toxic elimination. So there is not going to be any type of additional supplements or things that you need to swallow. Really, the only thing that's involved is this super delicious shake. I've already tasted it, and it's actually really good. So if you're worried about that, please don't be. So this particular shake is put together. It's called a detox powder. And then it comes with a guide that details out exactly when you should be taking the shake and how many shakes you should have on that particular day. And then also it comes with an approved food list and tons of recipes to help you be really successful on this detox. And then most people we just want to preface too that most people are going to be able to significantly benefit from this particular program, and that's why we chose it. We actually looked at quite a few programs, and this one was the one that we were like, yes, this is it. It's well vetted from us. And you know that means a lot. And then but it's not for everybody, okay? So in certain circumstances, it's not going to be appropriate for you. And we'll kind of explain that just a little bit. But here's some of the conditions that we would say, you know, hold off on this particular cleanse and let's do a little bit more work. So if you're struggling with constipation, so that means less than one bowel movement a day. If you're experiencing significant bloating or indigestion after meals, if you have other GI conditions that you know are affecting nutrient absorption, maybe like celiac disease or irritable bowel disease, also nutrient deficiencies such as vitamin D, B12, and magnesium. I know that's kind of hard to know if you actually are deficient in those, but if you are able to get those tested, I would say with vitamin D, I would say like no less than, I don't know, 30. Is that what you're thinking, Kristen? Because that's kind of like the sufficient level.
Yeah.
That. Yeah. And then, and B12 and magnesium, what I would say with magnesium is probably just take it. And if it makes you feel better, then you're obviously a little deficient. But just, you know, most people are kind of deficient in magnesium. So I'd just probably supplement, like I mentioned earlier in the prenatal or the preconception supplement regimen that we talked about. And then if you're underweight, so like under 18 BMI or body mass index, or also if you are working with a doctor and you know that you're malnourished, maybe for like some other condition that you're working on, that's not a good idea to go ahead and do this cleanse. And then also, if you have known or suspected food sensitivities to plant protein, like pea protein, oats, or buckwheat. Now, buckwheat is not gluten, so just don't get confused with that. Buckwheat is actually a seed, and usually most people can tolerate buckwheat, but if you know that you can't, then this is not going to be a cleanse for you. So, and part of the reason why we want to make sure that none of these are affecting you before you do the cleanse is if you push detoxification too fast, then it can really kind of make you sick. Toxins can build up if you're not eliminating, if all your elimination pathways aren't open and moving, then, it actually can kind of backfire on you. And we just don't want that to happen. So and because of that, we actually would like to schedule a quick 20-minute phone call with us if you are interested in the cleanse and you're actually not sure if it's the right thing for you or not, or even if you are just super interested, the best thing to do to join the cleanse is to schedule a quick 20-minute call with us, which will be kind of fun because then we can talk, you know, one-on-one and get to know you a little bit more and welcome you to the group personally. So we want to make sure that the program's right for you and that you get set up with everything that you need to make it super successful and to really kick off your January with an awesome bang when it comes to your health. So you'll have a couple of options. You can do the cleanse either by itself. So we're going to give you the option where you don't have to be part of the group. So you can actually do the cleanse totally by yourself, which is fine. We'll miss you, but but it's something that you can, like, maybe if you just know that you're not going to be able to be on the Facebook group or the weekly calls or anything, and you won't be able to join the group, but you still want to do the cleanse, then you can do that for $249. So it's just $249 and it will come with everything that you need for the 28 days. So it will come with all the shakes that you need for 28 days. And then also it will come with the recipe book, the nutrition guide and everything. It's really quite nice. And then if you want to be part of the group with us and you want that extra support, then you'll be able to join a private Facebook group. And then a weekly call with us that will be approximately about an hour long, where we'll be going over, you know, how you guys are doing. We'll be able to troubleshoot. And then we'll also probably pick a topic each week to help you again on your preconception journey and your health for 2020 and making sure that everything's just in line so you can start off a really great year. And that's going to be $399. So we really hope that you get interested and excited to join us because we're doing it with or without you. So we hope that you'll definitely get excited to do it.
Yeah. I just wanted to clarify. So you guys are eating real food, like a normal yeah. healthy diet during this process. And so this is just in addition to that. Like it's supporting that detoxification process on top of the healthy diet that you're already eating. And you'll get recommendations in the guide for the program on what you should be eating throughout this process. So like what foods are included and approved, and then recipes to support that. And then you'll have your shakes on top of that. Mm-hmm. And then if you want to learn more about detoxification, we have an awesome episode, I believe it's 18 of the podcast, with a registered dietitian, Ayla Barmer. And she talks about just kind of the right way to do detox, which is exactly what we're doing through this process, is eating well, including plenty of protein, including nutrients, and then adding in that kind of additional whole food support. So definitely check that out. You can find the link to learn more about the cleanse program, as well as to get scheduled with us to talk about whether or not this is something that's right for you, through the link in the podcast episode description. And we hope to see you there. So you have until, what did you say, the first to sign up, because we'll have to get everything shipped out to you. So yeah, from now until the first, you can schedule a free call. We're going to be a little off the grid for the Christmas holiday and for New Year's. So definitely get in touch with us right away if this is something that you're interested in doing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and if you want to see the program that we're talking about, the link is in the podcast description. So just click on the link and it will pull up the whole program, and you'll be able to see the shakes and what ingredients are involved with the shakes and what the nutrition program looks like and everything.
All right. And then there's one more thing that we want to talk to you guys about in terms of preparing for preconception and for getting pregnant in 2020. And that is getting your general health assessed. And this is something that I don't think most people up to this point, I mean, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you probably understand the importance of doing this, but most people don't think like, hey, I want to get pregnant. I need to go to my doctor and get a checkup and see where my general health is at. And even if we do think about that, we don't really know. Most of us don't really know what the right tests are to ask for and what we should be evaluating for. So we wanted to provide you guys with a little bit of that information. And a lot of these are going to be tests that you've heard us talk about throughout the life of the podcast so far. There is a lot of information in the functional fertility episode about the blood test that I'm going to talk about here in just a second. So you guys can definitely learn a little bit more in depth about why we recommend some of these tests in that episode if you would like to. And I'm going to go ahead and say that is episode 41 of the podcast. Yeah, functional fertility medicine is episode 41 of the podcast. And we do talk more in depth about these blood tests and investigations that we recommend preconception. And then especially if we're investigating any type of fertility issue. So the blood tests that we recommend having done are a full thyroid panel. And this is going to include a TSH. At the very least, it's going to include a TSH, a free T4, free T3, reverse T3, and thyroid antibodies, both TPO or thyroid peroxidase and thyroglobulin antibodies. And that's to assess your thyroid function and ensure that your TSH is not elevated, that you're not producing too little thyroid hormone to support the early stages of a pregnancy, a healthy menstrual cycle. And then this also affects babies' development during pregnancy and can put them at risk for some health issues if your thyroid isn't optimal. And universal screening is not currently recommended in the United States. And so most women, when they get their thyroid checked, only get a TSH, which is not a full look at thyroid function. And so we recommend having, at the very least, these tests that I just mentioned done. If you really want a more complete picture, you can also get a total T4 and total T3 added to this panel. And when we test in our practice, we include the total T4 and total T3. Next test would be vitamin D. So we mentioned this in the context of making sure that you're not deficient if you're going to be going into detoxification, but this is also, we also talked about it in the context of making sure that you're supplementing during preconception with the right things. And vitamin D is definitely one of those critical nutrients for fertility, pregnancy, and baby's health. So that is a level to definitely get tested. If you're in the preconception period, you're thinking you want to conceive sometime in 2020. A ferritin level, which tests stored iron in the blood. We usually do ferritin also along with iron and total iron binding capacity, which gives a more complete picture of what iron is doing in the body. We also use those tests along with a complete blood count, and this helps assess for a bunch of different things, but one of the main things that we're looking for on a complete blood count for preconception is the presence of anemia. And next would be a comprehensive metabolic panel, which is an important test for overall metabolic function. This also assesses for liver and kidney function and can actually give us some clues as to what might be going on with things like digestive health, blood sugar handling, and things like that. Next test would be a lipid panel, which I'm sure you guys have all had your lipids tested before. It's included on most annual health screenings, but this can be an important clue as to what is going on in your liver and with your cholesterol and whether or not you might need some dietary changes or some additional support for liver and gallbladder. A hemoglobin A1C and an insulin, which both help us give a more complete picture of assessing blood sugar handling and can give us some good clues to optimize health for you and blood sugar balance before you conceive, making sure that you're at as low a risk as possible for complications during pregnancy, like gestational diabetes, and also making sure that baby is set up for optimal health in infancy and childhood. And the last couple of tests are homocysteine, which helps us assess for B12 and folate deficiency and can also be a marker of inflammation in the body, as well as a high sensitivity C-reactive protein, which is another marker that we use to assess for inflammation. So I do want to mention that these are all certainly tests that you can take to your local healthcare provider and ask for. I do think it's important to have these tests looked at from a functional perspective, which your conventional medical doctor just might not be able to do for you. The primary goal of these tests when done in a conventional setting is to look for a pathology or a specific diagnosable health issue. The way that we use them in practice is actually to look at them from an optimal function perspective. So it's not, what are we diagnosing you with? Because we don't diagnose or treat via our practice because it's all done virtually. And I am not a doctor. So the way that we use these tests are really to look for opportunities to optimize health. So it's looking for maybe slightly more subtle imbalances in some of these levels that may result in you not feeling your best or might contribute to chronic health symptoms that you might be dealing with on a daily basis that you don't know are related to some of these more subtle imbalances in your blood chemistry. And so we look for patterns that can help identify those and then give you recommendations on how you can restore that balance in your body so that you can optimize your health for preconception and fertility and go into pregnancy as happy and healthy as you can possibly be. So you can get these done through your doctor. Most of the time when I send clients to their healthcare providers to have these tests done, I get maybe 50 to 75% of the markers that I ask for. I have had one client in all this time take this panel to her doctor and have them order the entire thing, which is not very many people. So that's definitely something to be aware of. And then insurance coverage can be an issue for some tests. Now, most of these are fairly routine, but for instance, I just had a client who told them that their vitamin D test wasn't going to be covered by insurance and they were going to bill $300 for it. And it wasn't going to be covered by insurance and that was going to be an out of pocket cost. I think the vitamin D marker on the blood panel that we run with our clients is $18. So that's a significant difference. And when you're in that insurance billing system, you can get some, you can get things kind of overpriced essentially and end up paying more out of pocket if insurance decides not to cover something. And that is one of the reasons that we have decided to start offering blood chemistry panels to our clients. And so the way that I like to do this is in the context of what we call a preconception health assessment. So there's two ways to do this. You can either have the labs done with your doctor and then schedule a 1-hour consult with us to review your results. We'll also go over your health history and look at a food journal for you and then give you some personalized recommendations on what you can do to optimize your health for fertility and preconception. And just that 1-hour appointment, if you do your labs not with us, that's $295. Or you can choose to do the full comprehensive blood panel that includes all of the tests I just mentioned, plus a couple of others. You can do that through us along with that 1-hour consult. And the total for that visit plus the blood panel is only $549. So if you have health insurance and you really want to use it and you're confident that you can get your doctor to order the tests that you need, go ahead and do it that way and just see us for the 1-hour consult to go over those results. If you either don't have a primary care physician, you're not confident that you're going to get the test that you ask for, or you go and you ask for them and they tell you no, we can absolutely do these for you. And like I said, that's $549 to do the full blood panel as well as the consult to go over those results, your health history, your food journal, and then get personalized recommendations for preparing for pregnancy. I do want to mention that not all states allow this kind of direct access blood testing or lab testing. Those include New York, New Jersey, Maryland, and Rhode Island. So everywhere else in the United States, we can typically do this for you as long as you have a LabCorp location somewhat near you. And that's something that we can talk about on a free 20-minute consult if you guys are interested in doing this. But those are the four states that we can't order a blood panel for you in. So I hope that this sounds like something that's interesting to you guys. And this is really a way to figure out, like, am I healthy enough to get pregnant? Is this something that feels good? How's my thyroid doing? Getting some of these basic labs done and assessing where your health is at and just having that confidence that your body is ready. So if you're interested in doing that, go ahead and schedule a 20-minute consult with us. We have the link for that in the podcast episode description. And I think that's going to do it for today. I hope that you guys got a lot of value out of this episode. and the ways that we can help support you as you go into 2020 and hopefully prepare for this to be the year that you either start or expand your family. So we hope that you've been enjoying the podcast over this last year and that you're seeing a ton of value in what we're providing here for you. This is something that we love doing. We have so much passion around helping you guys get pregnant and make healthier babies, and we're excited to keep doing that throughout this year. So we hope to see you guys with us either in the course, the cleanse, if you want to do the meal plan, or you're interested in doing the preconception health assessment. These are all ways that we can support you in this process. So have a great week. We'll see you back next week.